So before I begin to reflect a little bit on the gospel, just a little bit about the interesting things about today, and maybe some of you are very aware of them. Today begins the Triduum. Lent is over. We enter into these last 3 days before the great joyful celebration of Easter Sunday. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, the Easter Vigil, and then Easter Sunday. Tomorrow, as probably many of you are aware, it's one of the two really days of fasting we have in the church. So if you're an adult, and up to a certain age, you're supposed to fast, although you can do it at any age, but once you get to a certain age, I won't say what age that is, you probably know. You're freed from that fast from food, but to do something in spirit. But we're supposed to have one normal meal, and then two, we could have, I call them snacks, that aren't the size of that one meal. Friday's the only day for fasting, but the instruction in the Missal says, you should, if you can, keep it all through Saturday, too. So just encourage you to take that with a sense of seriousness as you go throughout your day. In addition, we had this great joyful ringing of our bells by our choir in the Gloria. And you know, we don't normally have the bells in the choir in the Gloria, right? And so we heard that today, and we're not going to hear bells again until Easter Sunday. And I actually dusted off an old antique here. It's called a, if you guys have ever seen this before, some of you maybe remember this. It's called a crotalus or something, and it's literally a hammer. So we're going to hear this instead of our bells during our Eucharistic prayer tonight. So I'll pass this off to one of the servers here. You can hold on to that. We'll use that this evening. And as we move then from the Eucharist, that first Last Supper, right? Because now we remember the Last Supper in our Eucharist, but that first Last Supper, after that moment, then Judas comes. They take the people out from the Garden of or the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, and we will all process then at the end of Mass out to our altar of repose here in the chapel. We'll pray here in silence until 10:45 tonight. We'll have night prayer. So people are welcome to stay and encouraged to stay as long as you want. Just silent prayer until 10:45, and then we'll conclude with night prayer, and you can go and come back even if you want to go home and eat dinner or whatever it is that you plan on doing. But that's sort of this evening. And we'll also have the beautiful celebration of the washing of the feet, which is what our gospel speaks about today. So, to our, at least a glimmer from our gospel message. To start it off today, we remember the priesthood, Christian service, and the Holy Eucharist. The priesthood, Christian service, or Christian fraternity, and the Most Holy Eucharist. In a retreat that St. John Paul II gave to seminarians in 1986, he said that the more Christian people become aware of their proper dignity, the more they feel the need for priests. The more Christian people become aware of their proper dignity, the more they feel the need for priests. We can understand this in a good way or in a confused way. I'd like to focus us on what I think, anyways, is the good, the important way. And I think of it in terms of, first, the via negativa, or how not to understand it. So this is not the priest is the most important person in the room. The priest is never wrong. We all, if you know me, you know that's not the case, right? But even in our church, right, we see that. Right? That's clearly not the case. These are misunderstandings of this idea of what is the priesthood. The priest is not celibate so he can be busier. And having talked to many of you who are families, you're much busier than I am. So that's not the case. The priest is not single so he can be more of a social worker. Some of you are social workers, I think, or nurses, doctors, or even just caring for your families and friends, who do much better job than I do of serving people. So that's not the point of all of this. So we say, well, what is the point then of this strange thing we call the priesthood? We, I think, get a glimmer of it from our gospel. During the Last Supper, Jesus says that he will wash their feet. He takes off he wasn't wearing a chasuble, but his robe, whatever it was, his outer garment, which we'll do this evening. And he washed their feet, and Peter didn't want that to happen. So Peter said, are you going to wash my feet? He says, you will never wash my feet. And why is that? Peter, I think, had a bad understanding of the priesthood, or you say of Jesus' priesthood that the priests share in. Why? He saw Jesus as, and he is the king, right? He is the ruler, he is the Lord, but his role on earth was not to be king, ruler, and Lord. He'll come again for that, don't worry. His role on earth was to be the servant. And so we think of the priesthood then, well, it's something about service. But there's a particular type of service. And it was a type of service that Peter was afraid of. Their feet, I don't know if this is something to this, but in the Old Testament, when there would be, it was a euphemism for sexual relations, they would say they uncovered their feet. They uncovered their feet. The feet were, they would see as the dirtiest part of their body, because they're wearing sandals most likely, right? So they'd be covered in dirt. I don't know exactly how that came into uncovering their feet, but that became a euphemism for this intimate and at times shameful, when it's turned around, turned backwards, aspect of our life, but should be a beautiful part of our lives. So Peter says, I do not want you to wash my feet. Maybe there's this double reason. He knows his feet are dirty, and maybe he has this idea that his feet should be reserved only for a slave to clean, only for a servant to clean and to touch. So Jesus says, unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me. We relate this then to the mystery of the service of the priest is not necessarily to be the most organized, although I should try my best, to not to be the best CEO or social worker or whatever it may be, but the service, that's the central service of the priesthood. All those others are important. The central service is to serve the mystery of our life, of our Lord entering your shame. And that is, to our modern world, and I think in Peter's own day and age, the strangest aspect of all of Jesus' divinity. Peter could get behind pretty well Jesus being divine. It took him a little while, but he got behind it. He struggled, though, getting behind Jesus entering into his shame. Think for a moment of the most shameful thing that you've ever done in your life. Some of you, maybe, not too bad. Maybe some of you, something you would never want to share with another soul. Think of that for a moment. What's the most shameful thing that you've ever done in your life? And not to call it bad memories here, but call that to mind and imagine someone you respect coming into whatever situation that is. Imagine you respect a teacher, maybe a parent, a grandparent, maybe a priest, maybe a sister, maybe whoever it may be. Imagine them entering into that moment of shame. What's our reaction? Right? It's to hide. Like a child who's broken a vase, or a priest who's dumped ashes on the carpet or something, right? You want to go hide in the sacristy so no one yells at you, right? But it's bigger than that, obviously. When we're faced with our shame, we want to hide from it because we think it's this lowly, unworthy part of our life, and it is. And so Peter sees his shame, he sees his feet as representing all the shame of his life. And Jesus, the idea of Jesus entering into his shame is farther away than anything that Peter could have ever imagined Jesus, the Lord and King, would have ever done. And yet it is precisely that which Jesus came for. And it is that which is at the center of the priestly service. Now, we're human, so we might go off the path a little bit here and there. We may have our human imperfections, surely we do. But that is the central aspect. We enter into this most holy Eucharist where our Lord, after we have given him our shame, becomes one with us. But that communion only fully exists when we give him our shame. Because in truth, our Lord has never actually been ashamed of us. There is nothing you could have ever done or will ever do where the Lord would say, I am disgusted with you. I'm revolted with you. That has never crossed our Lord's lips. You know, as you look through our Lord's ministry too, you know the people who really bothered him? You think about that, right? It was the scribes, the Pharisees. It was the people who said that they were without shame. The people who rejected their shame. The people who the Lord drew close to, who he went into their home and ate with them, they were murderers, tax collectors, prostitutes, and whoever else is not even written in our text. Our Lord came to heal those who are in shame. And that is the role of the ministry of the priest. As we enter into this most holy Eucharist then, inasmuch as we've given our shame to our Lord, and not hidden from it, not run away from it, but run towards it, towards our Lord, and given him our shame, we receive the Eucharist, we receive communion, we become one with him, who can only become one with us inasmuch as we give him the deepest and darkest places of our life. And then what happens from there? When we realize we've given the Lord our shame, we've received that unity with him, we're free. We're free men and women. We're not held down by chains or anything anymore, and then we give of ourselves in loving service, in loving sacrificial service. So I started this homily with that quote from John Paul II, the more Christian people became aware of their proper dignity, the more they feel the need for priests. Might reinterpret that, might rephrase that, might restate that. That the more a Christian realizes that they are not the sum of their shame, the more they want to give it over. The less a Christian realizes what the Christian life is about, they don't want to give it over. They flee from this idea of guilt and shame, and they're repulsed by the idea of repentance. But when a Christian realizes the point of it all, they no longer flee, they no longer run from their shame. When they realize their dignity, when they say that the Lord has called you, each of you, to share in that priestly ministry, they don't run from their shame, but they hand it over. They give it to the Lord. The Lord washes them. They say, Lord, wash my feet. Come, Lord Jesus, and wash me clean. That's what we celebrate this evening. That's what we celebrate on this Mass of the Lord's Supper. That is the great mystery of our faith, which the priest is intended to serve. And so I pray, as I end my homily here, that for those of you who have given your shame over to the Lord before, give it again. And I know, because it's just the way the world is, that there's some of you who've never thought about the Christian life being about letting the Lord handle our shame. To start, for the first time, to begin. And if you've done it before, to begin again.